You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wham Goat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
One more time. Third time's a charm, bro. Yeah,
you're right. Welcome to this episode of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. There you go. Third time with Skylar on the podcast. We got it knocked out for the various basics of intros. Oh, yeah. Anyway, welcome to this week's episode of the Van Flip Podcast. Like I said just now previously, we are sitting with Skylar, who is the vocalist for Cell, a heavy hardcore slash deathcore slash metallic hardcore slash heavy metalcore slash whatever you want to kind of name their genre or kind of lump them into. But anyway, they're a heavy-ass band from Oklahoma that I was talking to Skylar a little bit beforehand, give him the rundown of the old pod, but... You know, I kind of came in to your to know your band through No Cure and Blaith. You know, you guys played a show, not a show, but you guys did, I think, like a little tour or mini run with them and Mugshot
earlier in 2023. Yeah.
So you guys did that. And I know you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but you either are going out or just got back from going out with Kanaushi, right?
That is actually in March of this year. That's cool. Coming up quick. So one more month and then we're back out.
I kind of know some things. You know what I mean? I kind of know a little.
Yeah.
A yeah. So, you know, I was going over with Skylar that he's relatively in a newer band that Lamb Goat's been covering for the past 12 months for the most part. So we kind of, you know, in wanting to grow the scene and get you guys acquainted with bands that you might not be acquainted with. Here we are. With Skylar from Cell. Welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. Working in Oklahoma today, huh?
I am, yeah. I work at a print shop called Backroom Prints, located in Oklahoma City. It's ran by my buddy Steve-O. But, yeah, I just work here, and then I do some odd jobs in and out with, like, construction and stuff like that on the side.
Nice. It seems like every hardcore kid is either adjacent to a print shop or a screen shop somewhere. There's either one... They run, or they know a person in the band or a friend that runs a print shop. It's always very closely antiquated with a band.
Every time, bro. I know so many fucking people that, like, are just tied in with shit like that. Like, because I've been working with Steven since I was probably, like, I'd say, like, 16, and I'm almost 25 now. Mm. So I've been with him for, like, a long time, off and on, just, like, jumping jobs while, like, touring and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what comes first? Like, the... screen printing job, then the band, or the band, then screen printing job, like the chicken or the egg, you know? You never know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, Steven, he works real well with, like, my schedule, especially just because we're starting to tour a lot heavier. So, you know, I'll bust my ass while I'm here and then go out, tour for, like, a month, come back. I'm back in the shop, like, 2 days after I get home, and I'm, like, well-rested, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, shout out Steve-O, bro. He takes care of me while I'm here, for sure.
Is it hard to find? Well, I guess not. You've had that gig for a number of years, so I would assume that you've kind of gotten used to it. But it probably is hard for new and up-and-coming bands, especially younger bands, that may not live at home still and have to pay real-world bills and rents and stuff like that. It might be a little difficult for them to, you know, gallivant across the country every now and then for a couple weeks at a time to go play some music, you know, for some people and then come back to a regular job. I know office jobs aren't really keen on that, that's for sure. So,
yeah, I feel like it's definitely hard nowadays, especially just with, like, living expenses, like, going up and shit, you know, all across the country. It's like you have to have, like, a steady income. Like, if you, like, don't get me wrong, like, I've definitely quit jobs to tour in the past, but, like, luckily, you know, I like I said, I found something that kind of works for me and like kind of helps out. And you know, all the other guys in cell, like they all have their jobs that are very like acquainted to their touring schedule. So I feel like we got kind of lucky on that end. But I have seen friends and mutual friends just like go through the ringer and being like, well, I had to quit my job just to like go tour for 2 weeks and barely fucking be able to pay rent, but it's worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of bands go the other way too, where they just don't tour or they quit being a band because they can't take off time from their jobs and everything like that. So it does kind of go both routes, unfortunately. Probably more so the other route where it doesn't work out for the band. I think that probably happens way more.
And it sucks even more when it's like a really, really good band, you know what I mean? And then like they just kind of like they're like up going up the ladder, and then it's like where the fuck did they go? And you never find out, but you can only assume that's probably like one of the main reasons why.
Yeah, that'd be like wild. Like, oh, Will Ramos has left Lorna Shore because, you know, rent's getting high and he's got to, like, you know, work an office corporate job or something like that. That would be wild to see. But nonetheless, they're very successful. So hopefully that won't happen to them in the near future. But speaking of successful, let's talk about Cell. I know we kind of picked you guys kind of ended up on our radar like late last, or sorry, early last year. And like I said previously, it was more so because I started covering Blythe's band No Cure, and then you know, that kind of opened up a whole nother world of like not a world, but a whole nother wave of like younger heavy metallic hardcore metalcore bands that have been kind of like running the circuit. So like, how did Cell come into fruition? Like, you know, you guys are out in Oklahoma. I am not super keen on like the music scene that or much that goes on in Oklahoma outside of maybe Chat Pile always posting about your drivers crashing into buildings and shit. So that's basically all I know for more for Oklahoma. So let's go through the history of like Cell and how it came about, how it came to, you know, fruition.
So Cell initially started as a side project with me and some of the guys from Mouth for War. It's kind of like how it formed. My buddy Michael, who plays bass in Mouth for War, he had this demo that he had sent me a while ago, and I was just kind of like bored and doing like my other band was kind of like being on hold for a minute. So
What was your other
just
band
because
again?
of other
Sorry.
project, Omen,
Omen.
OKC.
Okay.
Yeah, I started that back when I was like probably 15, I think 15 or 16. I was younger. Yeah, he had sent me this demo, which ended up turning into the first version of Failed by the Grace of God's Hands, which is on our first record.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, he had sent me that like a year prior, and I was going through like old Dropbox files, and I found it, and I was like, damn, this is sick. So him and I were going back and forth, and I had shown it to a couple of my old bandmates, and I was like, we should use this, you know what I mean, and just give Michael the credits for writing it. And it didn't really fit the style that we were, so I was like, fuck it, let's just like I'll lay some vocals on it, and then we can just put it out as like a side project, just like an internet thing. And Michael was like, yeah, cool. So I wrote the lyrics, put them on there, tracked the vocals. We dropped it, and people really, really liked it. And then we, I guess, like started writing what turned into Sadistic Sounds of Suffering. And then that kind of like brought in Trey, the vocalist of Mouth for War. He was playing drums originally.
Okay.
And then Gabe, and then my buddy Josh from here, he plays in a band called The Tooth. That's like what kind of brought in that lineup. Once we put that record out, it was nonstop, like show offers, and we were getting tour offers, and people were like, we like want to see this fucking band live, but it just didn't seem realistic because we were all so busy with other
Right,
shit,
right, right.
you know.
And are you guys all
And
located in the same
so
location? Because like I know you said it started with Trey from Mouth of War, but I know that Trey, guys, Trey from, I know he's like from,
he's from Colorado. I think he's from Indiana
yeah,
originally, but
Indiana,
they
and then
all
I
live
know he's
in
in Colorado
Colorado.
now. Yeah, so I was curious as to like how you guys linked up. Was it strictly just online, or did you know each other from like the internet, or did you meet at shows somewhere else?
I knew Michael and Trey and all them just from like touring and like going to shows and stuff. Like we met a long time prior to cell forming, but Yeah, Michael was, I think, actually the one who pitched Trey to, like, he was like, Trey wants to drum for this. Because he does vocals, you know what I
Right,
mean? But like, he's a
yeah.
hell of a fucking drummer.
He does
And,
everything else though too. I think he writes a lot of that stuff for Mouth of
dude,
War too. Yeah, he's pretty all
Trey,
around.
Trey's a fucking musical genius,
Yeah.
bro. He's fucked up. He's crazy.
It sucks that he kind of like, is not stuck, but he kind of gravitates toward heavier music because you never know what could happen with someone like that if they're into like pop music
Yeah,
or
bro.
like, popular music. But
Right.
nonetheless, here we
Yeah.
are. We have him in our little world. Hey, what's up? It's Lurk. Looks like you're enjoying the podcast. If you are and you like what we're doing here on the Van Flip, why don't you go ahead and pause this, give us a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to. If you want to find out any information on your favorite bands from the hardcore and metal scene, visit lambgoat.com. And to stay in the loop about everything that we post on lambgoat.com, make sure you like us on Facebook and you head over to Twitter and Instagram and follow us at lambgoat. Are you a full-grown adult and you also have a TikTok account? Congrats. Follow us on TikTok as well. You can find us under the username lambgoat.com. That's spelled out DOTCOM. Head over to our YouTube channel where we have all of these podcasts in video format, plus a lot more content that you should check out. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and you hit that notification bell so you're always alerted when we upload new content. And last but not least, if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host for the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LurkCity. And as always, if you need any of the links that pertain to the artists on the show today, Lambgoat, or myself, you can always find them in the description. Thanks for listening to this message. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, no, he's a fucking great dude, man. I'm excited because like we've never like been on the road together, and so we're going on tour together in March on the Mugshot and Cam Washington tour, and I'm excited to kick it with them because like I said, man, I mean we've all been like really good friends for a while, but have never traveled the country together, so it's gonna be a fun time for sure. But yeah, man, so we filmed two music videos, put those out through Slam Worldwide. It got a decent amount of traction. People were like, like I said, they were like, we want to see this band, blah blah blah. Shows kept coming and coming and getting offers and shit. And so I had a couple of my buddies who play in Peeling Flesh, Soto and Joe. I was like, would you guys mind filling in for some of these shows? And they were like, yeah, cool. And then we played a few shows, and then it kind of just, I think it turned into a thing where like Mouth of War was getting so busy, they were like, hey man, like we see what Cell's doing. Like y'all just take it and run with it because we've got to focus on this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, we took it and ran with it, and it's been nonstop ever since. We went through some member changes just because like Peeling schedule picked up a lot, and then
Right.
the Cell schedule was picking up a lot. So it's like, we both want to eat at the same table, but like sharing members with like bands that are like kind of like gaining traction, it's a fucking pain in the ass for
Yeah,
sure.
for
But
sure.
nonetheless, I love all those dudes. I love everybody who has had some sort of play in what has became Cell for sure.
Yeah, it's been a pretty interesting ride, that's for sure, and quick, like you said. Once you started putting music out there, you started getting the offers. That being said, speaking of putting stuff out there, you guys listed, or you guys released, not listed, but you guys released Sadistic Sounds of Suffering, which is kind of like an EP, right? That was like your first EP in 2001. It was like a little four track situation, and then since then. Let me check one more thing. Yeah, since then, this has been some singles and a split, correct? Until right now, you're in the cycle of releasing another or another EP. Yeah, another EP. And I will look it up real quick. It is called The Unbearable Form, coming out in 3 weeks on February 9th through Unbeaten Records. And you guys just dropped the newest single, The Heavens Hear
Certain death.
Nothing. Or no, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first one.
Yeah, with the the music video with Toddy.
Yeah. So this one is Certain Death. Yes. Yeah, so how did that song come about? 'Cause we just released it, so or you just released it, we posted about it, so I figured I'd ask you about it.
Just like the writing process on it.
Yeah, everything. I mean, yeah, that's how we're gonna get into the EP so we can kind of talk about the EP, but yeah, since that's the newest song up there, yeah.
That song, so I'll just kind of go from like the heavens to certain.
Sure.
We sat on the demo for the Heavens Hear Nothing, I think like for maybe like 6 months, maybe a little longer. We wrote that a while ago. That was just Joe and Tyke going fucking back and forth, like kind of riffing some shit out. And then Matt, our other guitarist. No, I think I got it switched up. That was Joe and Matt who initially wrote that song. And then we all kind of like chimed in our little pieces to it. But we sat on it for, fuck, man, like I would say like 6 months to a year. And we were kind of playing it live and shit. But I was kind of like in between, like, hey, we should just release this as like a single by itself. But then we ended up already, we did that with something else and we signed on Beaten. And so I was like, okay, well let's save this for the new record. And then so when we went to we recorded the record with Connor Haynes, but we went up there with only like two songs, I think, total. And so Certain Death, we wrote, I think I wrote the lyrics and we wrote the song like all in the same day. Yeah, while we were up in Colorado tracking the record.
Do you do a lot of that where you kind of just knock a song out in a span of like 24 hours, or is that rare for you guys?
That was like honestly the first time I think we've ever done that. Like with multiple tracks. Like we've like always kind of been a band that'll like we release a song and then we write a new one and then we'll sit on that one for a minute while we're trying to like kind of work on the other ideas. And then it's like we'll put that one out right in the, you know what I mean? Like it's like it kind of like takes a little bit, especially with like work schedules and stuff. But and I was also gonna say like two of our members live in Texas, so that's like they're not even here with us all the time. But yeah, man, it was like crazy because I had never written songs like so fast. Like I'll have like lyrics on like the back burner just chilling in my notes. Just ideas like pop up every now and then. But yeah, like the lyrics for Certain Death, I think I like went off of a couple of lines that I had like put back for something else. And I was like, oh, this would be cool to use right here. And then once I was like just fucking going, dude, it was like nonstop. And then we finished it, had the song done, and then we tracked the vocals for it the next day. And I was like, damn, this is probably the craziest song that I think this band has ever written. Personally, it's like
Nice.
my favorite song on the record.
That's cool. That's cool. And so, when you get, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard you had a handful of songs written, but you wrote some songs while doing the EP.
Yeah, so we went up there with the Heavens Hear Nothing, which was like completed and that was a finalized track. And then we have an old song that we released a while ago, but we took it off. And we just like revised it. Like we just like went back to it and kind of like made some changes and like just revamped the track completely. So yeah, like I'm pretty sure like three or four songs out of the six are all like brand new that we wrote with Connor.
Interesting. So how does it work with band members in different areas of the country? I mean, obviously, like you mentioned earlier, some of the members were in other bands and they had to kind of like, bow out to focus on their main project. But like, how do you find replacement members? Is it something that like you put a call out, or you just start like asking friends of bands that you know that aren't maybe doing much, or people that aren't in bands currently at the time, or?
So our second guitarist Matt, he kind of like he was a fill-in initially for a tour that we did with Born Anew, I think back in like 2022, I think is when we did that tour. I had never met him before. He was just a mutual friend to one of the old members. And he was like, yeah, I'm down to fill in. Came with us and it was fucking sick. And then he meshed well with us. We all had like really, really good, like, I'm trying to think of the word. Like he just like worked well with us
Camaraderie.
and he got a, yeah. And he got along well with all of us. And then he came on another tour and that one was longer. I think that was like 3 weeks at that time. And I was like, hey man, like if you're down, you know what I mean? Like you got the spot. And he was like, fuck yeah, dude, let's do it.
Yeah, it's
And then,
kind of, go ahead, finish it up. Finish your thing.
I was just gonna say, and then Ernie, he's like the newest member of Cell. He plays bass for us now, but he was Matt's mutual friend. And so he was like, hey, I've got a buddy who would be down to, like, you know, we're looking for a bassist. He'd be down to, like, try out. And his first tour with us was that Orthodox US that we did. And now he was in a van with us. Like, he hopped in a van and spent 43 or 44 days with us without knowing any of us. And yeah, it was
interesting.
It's sick, dude. Yeah, Ernie.
What kind of weirdo is that guy? Ernie, you're a weirdo, dude. You could have come home, dead or never even at all. You know, you went to a, into a van with a bunch of strangers looking for some candy, it sounds like.
Some strange grown men. Bro.
Yeah, right.
He only knew like one of them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm like, I would never fucking do that, bro.
No, yeah, that's crazy. I hear stories about, like, you know, I don't know if you know who this guy is, but like David Tro, the guy that he painted Facebook and they paid him a bunch of stocks. And then when Facebook went public, he became like, I don't know, hundreds of millionaires. You know, like he became like a $300 million heir or whatever. Anyway, he's just a graffiti artist that just lucked out. Not lucked out. He's really good, but he lucked out painting Zuckerberg's office. But in his, if you go look at his like earlier days, he did a lot of stuff with Vice where he talks about he was a kid hitchhiking through the country, which kind of reminded me of old Ernie hopping in the van with some fucking weirdos. And
it's crazy, bro. People are fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, I wonder, well, it wasn't that long ago. So yeah, he'd probably still do it today if someone asked him, you know. It wasn't like 20 years ago. He was like, yeah, I probably wouldn't do it these days, but he literally did it these days. Right. So it's whatever.
That's fucking crazy, man.
So, you know, hearing you talk about like putting the band together or finding other members after certain members kind of like, you know, bow out or go other ways, it makes me think about when I was, again, a younger lad. When this will go back 20 something years, but it reminds me of like it being so hard to kind of create a band because you have to find, well, obviously, like you have to find people that listen to this kind of music and stuff like that, which even back then was more rare than it is now. But it sounds like it's way easier just to find randomly talented musicians and not having them have to be in like your 6 degrees of separation, like around you. You can find like random people. It just seems, this is going to sound, I don't mean it to sound this way, but it sounds, it seems easier to make a band than ever before, which, you know, I thought back in the day, like you have to be like best friends with everybody because you're going to be on the road for so long. And, you know, you want this to be like a bunch of bros hanging out, having a great time. But, you know, doing this job and talking to so many people outside of, in bands and stuff, you find out that like, no, it's just another job for a lot of people. And
it is.
Yeah. And, you don't necessarily have to get along with everybody, but as long as the finished product comes out, you know, decent enough for the audience, then it's a good day at the office, so to speak. But God, I never would have thought about it that way 20 years ago, man.
Fuck no, man. Like I've been like trying to do like the music shit since I was probably like 12 or 13, bro, like baby Sky. And, you know, now like, you know, me being at a point to where like it's kind of like starting to pay off in a sense, you know what I mean? I'm like, I never fucking thought that I would get here, and I see it happening for like so many of my friends. Like there's so many fucking good bands from Oklahoma, bro. Like I'm just gonna like shout, like put a list, but like
go ahead.
There's Inside You, there's Sledge, Free For All, Agony, you know what I mean? We got Peeling Flesh, we've got Field Dress, we've got fucking, I'm trying to think of like more bands, Defiled, like just there. It's just like so many fucking like bands that like, and Bastion, I forgot about Bastion and Fungus. But just like, it's crazy. Like seeing the new like era of like Oklahoma, because I've been through like so many different variations of like groups of people,
yeah,
like that I've seen just like pass through our scene out here, like people and bands and groups and like cliques and shit like that. And like it's just, it's cool like seeing like Oklahoma like thrive so fucking hard. And like that's literally like all I want to do with, like, for me personally, like with Cell, like I don't give a fuck if I'm playing like sold out fucking arenas eventually, or if I'm still playing like basements. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to put on for my state, and I've got some shit that I want to fucking say. You know what I mean? So.
I will have to say this. I don't recall hearing a lot of stuff coming out of Oklahoma in my younger days. And I could just be like,
Yeah.
I could just be clueless to it, obviously, and not have my ear to the ground as well as I thought I did. But I think just now you find so many more bands coming from so many more obscure places, I guess, because obviously the internet is the internet, but this kind of music has
Yeah.
been around for a good 30, 40 years now. Not this particular style of heavy hardcore or heavy metalcore or anything like that, but the starting blocks of it have been around for like 30, 40 years now. So you're starting to see like it reach these weird little areas of the world, and it's not so rare to see it live either, right? So you're getting your own bands
Right.
in your own area, and then that's spawning people that have no clue. They may just stumble into a show one night and see some guy or see some band playing, and people fighting invisible ninjas and shit, and then they'll be like, "What the hell is going on?" But
Yeah, man.
what is it about Oklahoma or the Oklahoma scene recently that is kind of like, I don't want to say put you guys on the map, but at least, gotten the name out there a little more for the state.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with I've got friends who, like I said, I've got my buddy Steven. He's like one of the staples of Oklahoma's like hardcore scene. Like he always has been. And then, we've got our like Steven runs the print shop, but they're like we there was a point in time where like shit just kind of like went like after COVID and stuff, like everything was just like there like wasn't much of a scene out here anymore. And we were like, how the fuck can we like get it like going again? Like what can we do to like kind of like try and like revive like what Oklahoma hardcore like is?
And
And him
not to cut you off,
and
but prior to COVID, what was it like prior?
well, that was when it was like starting to like kind of like die out a little bit. Like
Okay.
I said, I mean, there's just been so many variations of like people that like come
Right,
and they
okay.
fucking go, you know what I
Gotcha,
mean?
gotcha.
But yeah, him and our friend Juan, they started Backroom Productions, and it was originally another booking agency name before that, but then they kind of revamped it, and it turned into Backroom Productions. And like some of the first shows that I think we were putting on was like, I think the we like booked this like warehouse in Southeast OKC, and we had like No Zodiac fucking just slide through, which we're all like real good friends with them, so it worked out great. And then that was like we had that show, and all like it was like first show that we had done with this like name, like 200 or 300 kids just packed into this fucking warehouse, and we were like, the fuck, you know what I mean? And then we just kept getting more offers and more offers, and it's turned into like a very big staple. Like Backroom has definitely put the state back on the map for like bands to like want to come through. Like it's not just like a passing through or like a flyover state anymore. You know what I mean? Like I talked to so many friends when we're like touring, and I'm like, you gotta come to Oklahoma. Like you gotta play Oklahoma. And they're like, yeah, we fucking want to, because we see what y'all are doing out there. Like, and so it's cool to know that like there are people out there who are like they're admiring like what our scene is. You know what I mean?
I think that's important
Yeah, man,
too.
like
Go ahead, finish your step. Finish your thought.
oh I was just gonna say like it's cool to know that like when we're out there touring or our friends are touring, like that's just like kind of accumulating more people's attention to be like, what the fuck is Oklahoma about?
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's also I wanted to ask, like, what is more important for the scene? And these are both going to be important things, or if you
Yeah.
wanted a scene to flourish, or if you want to start a decent scene, these are both things that are needed, obviously. You need bands within the local area, good bands within the local area, obviously, to add to shows, but you also need shows to come to town. So like, what is more important in your eyes when you're trying to book a show? Is it like, are you trying to bring in a band that will draw, or are you trying to put on locals that'll draw for a band that may be coming from out of town that not that many people know?
Yikes. That's a fucking good question.
Well, like when trying to start, like say like we're talking to somebody in an area that doesn't have a lot of like shows going on, and they may be in a smaller rural area of America, yeah. Right? So like, let's say, do you want to have, you know, band X come through that more people might know about, and it may cost you a couple dimes to book, but you know, you can start getting those types of bands in the area. And again, you know, that may spawn some more bands popping up in your local scene. Cause you know, you never know who's watching or who wants to imitate what they've seen on stage at a local show. So yeah. What was more important for you guys when you started it out back up in 2000, whatever.
I can't speak for everybody, but I think like having a band come through that has some like momentum behind their name and people can like, you know, they see like this like crazy fucking logo, whether it be a deathcore logo, death metal, hardcore, what's fuck ever. They see it and they're like, oh, who the fuck is the headliner? Because I feel like when I was younger, I would see flyers for shows and like, yeah, I may see like a couple local bands that like I know that are playing it, but I'm like, if I had never heard of the band prior to seeing the like anything about the show itself, I would always look up the headliner and listen to them. You know what I mean? And then be like, oh, this band's fucking sick. Like I'll be there. You know what I mean? I'll pay the fucking $10 to go watch them on top of the bands that I already know that are going to be playing that are cool. You know, that are fucking, they put on a show. I think for me, like it definitely helped like having like the connections with like friends that I made like over the years, as have like everybody else. But yeah, for sure, like having bands with like traction to them, you know.
Yeah, where does the traction come from? That's another question I like to ask the younger kids.
Yeah,
that I talk to, or like younger bands, or you know, you're a younger dude, you're in your 20s, so like where do you where's the fake, I don't want to say fake world, but obviously, you know, like people think Twitter is real, but Twitter doesn't really exist in the real world. Like what goes on in Twitter doesn't necessarily exist in the real world. So where does the internet hoopla like come from for most bands? Is it Twitter or is it Bandcamp? Is it like TikTok/Reels? You know what I mean? Like where do the younger cats these days like find out about bands?
I think TikTok is like crazy for like promotion towards like music. Personally, like,
is it cringe though? Dude, like, do you guys think it's cringe or like a lame outlet because of it being like, you know, it was like TikTok dances and like weird meme shit in the beginning, early days.
Right.
And then, you know, once you start, you know, a couple artists got really huge off there, a lot of bands started going that route and trying to use that route. But like, yeah, I was just always curious of like, do bands like enjoy having to do TikTok, or I guess they don't like to do social media in general unless they're good at it. But yeah.
I mean, for Cell, just speaking for us, like we, like our main places that like we try and like keep up with the most is like Instagram and Facebook. I was going to do the whole TikTok thing like when it first started, because I saw how many people were like so invested into it. And I was like, this is a good, like, outlet for like exposure. Like we could put our music on here and people will be like, if they're in like the heavy metal realm of TikTok, like, you know what I'm saying? They'll like check it out probably. But I never got into it. For us, like, I mean, I've got a TikTok account and I scroll and fucking look at stupid videos and shit. But, I see like so many, like I was scrolling the other day, bro, and I saw, you know what I'm saying, like there was a kid moshing in a bathroom and it was to a No Cure song.
Yeah.
Like, and it had fucking so many likes and like comments and shit like that. I'm like, that's crazy. Like it's wild. And like that's happened, like I'm sure, to a number of people that I'm familiar with. But I think all social media is like good for traction. But I think right now in this day and age, I think a lot of kids are finding out about like newer bands and shit like that through like the TikTok
Yeah.
thing that's happening, you know?
There's a good and a bad side to that, I think, too, because like a lot of bands, or this could also go for like Spotify streaming numbers too, right? So like a lot of bands are like really good on social media, whether it's because they have like cool videos, flashy videos, choreographed dance moves, or like, you know, on stage moves and shit, or they have
Right.
and I'm not knocking anything, I'm just saying like these are features or attributes of these videos that are doing well. But like
Yeah.
I always am curious as, because I've been guilty of it too. I think like a band is so big in my head, and then I'll see them. Granted, it could be the area that I'm seeing them in, whether it's like here in North Florida, or I could be somewhere else where they're not like necessarily close to their home base or something like that. But
Right.
that doesn't actually like play out in the real world as well. It, like, you know,
Right.
you could have hundreds of thousands of fans on Twitter or social media, or even like 100,000 listeners a month on Spotify. But you know, you pull up to the local hardcore show, it's like no one really kind of knows what's going on, or know who you are, kind of
Right.
thing. So it's always like I just am curious as to how people, I don't know, gauge, you know, who to book or who to check out or who to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We do it all the time, and so I probably get more bands than the normal person thrown at them in a daily basis anyway. So, you know, it's a lot of
I
like,
figure.
yeah, it's a lot of like, how does, and these might be like really bad attributes to pick like a band to check out, but like if the album art's good, if the band promo isn't like too hideous or cringe or anything like that, if the logo
Yeah.
isn't, you know, if the band name slash logo is in my wheelhouse, I'll check it out. But there's a lot that I have to also just be like, at first glance, be like, that's probably not worth my time. Just gotta keep it moving.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? And that sucks
for
because I
sure.
also probably miss out a lot. But you know, if for some reason I don't cover it, someone else will, and it'll eventually like hit me in the head, like, oh, I should probably check that out more.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we don't like really typically like say no to most fans that are coming through, because I feel like you got to give everybody like a chance, you know what I'm saying? And like, if it like it's one of those things, it's like if you say like we book a show and it kind of like flops, and there's like, you know, like not it doesn't sell as well as like it would with like this tour package, like maybe next time they come back, you know what I mean, it'll be a little bit better and we can put like some more like high-end locals on it that like have like better draw, you know what I'm saying, just stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
You seem like a small show kind of guy, so I'm going to ask this. Do you think, because this is just a thing that I like to pose this question for people all the time, no matter what how big their band is or what shows they book. But do you
Oh,
think,
shit.
or do you have an opinion? Do you have an opinion on festivals affecting club shows, smaller club shows? Do you have an opinion on that? Do you think that bigger festivals, like whether they be like anywhere between like Furnace Fest type festivals to like Blue Ridge, Rockville, big DWP festivals, do you think they are helping or hurting the smaller club level shows?
I don't think they're like damaging it in any sort of way. I think if you are in the same area that a big fest is happening, and say you work with like a booking agency that has no correlation towards like anything to do with the fest, and you have a show going on like the same day that maybe like it's a 2 or 3 day fest, like your show will more than likely
Yeah,
flop. Like it will not be
you should
fucking
not do
good.
that unless you're doing like a
Yeah.
an after show with a band from the
Like
festival.
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, some shit like that. But like, yeah, like never like, because we know like we have like our one big fest here called Flyover Fest in Tulsa, and that's
That's
every year
hilarious.
in November typically.
Flyover. I get it. I get it.
But I mean, dude, last year like we had like fucking Pain of Truth and a bunch of bands come out, and it was fucking sick. It did really well. Like King Nine played.
Well, those
Dope.
festivals,
I've never seen them
I'm not
before.
necessarily talking about those types of festivals, whereas like Like, I don't think FYA, I'm sure you're familiar with FYA down in Tampa and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's hurting any kind of, like, local club shows, right? But I guess right. my worry is that these bigger festivals become so popular and so in, you know, and people go to those more frequently that they don't feel like they have to go to smaller shows. Right. And the other thing being that there are radius clauses sometimes that are in effect for some of these bands. And again, like if you're in a band with a radius clause, they're probably not going to be playing a smaller show. So there's that, but
yeah,
I just, you know, my whole thing is like, how can I grab somebody who might listen to Breaking Benjamin or something like that at one of these big festivals? And how can I get a hold of them and drag them down into like the depths of like, the dog shit we
just
all
drop
like.
Them in.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But like, how do you do that? Like, I don't know.
I think promotion online, and also, you know what I mean? Like, we've done the whole thing where like we'll go to like our local mall and like drop like flyers off at like fucking Hot Topic and Spencer's and shit like that. And like we'll go to like guitar centers and like when we were first starting to do this, like we had people that were working with us that were doing stuff like that for promotional purposes. And I think stuff like that really, really helps. But now we have, you know, we're to a point with, you know, certain bands and like our booking agency and stuff where it's like we have a good following enough to where like when we post about a show online, chances are there are going to be a fuckload of the kids who come to our shows regularly that will share it, and then their friends will see it,
yeah,
and their friends will be like, hey, let's go to, like, it's a fucking spider web, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like every time we have a show, like I went to a show last night that some of my friends were playing, and like so many new people that I had never fucking seen before. And a few of them came up and they were like, hey, love the new stuff. And I was like, I have no fucking idea who you are.
Yeah, that's crazy. I see that all the time. And I mean, I'm much older, so I probably am more out of the loop, but I'm always like, where the fuck are these people at coming from? Like, where are they coming from?
Yeah, bro. Right. Like, they're just coming out the fucking woodwork, bro. It's crazy.
It is weird, but I also wonder what that is from. Like, do you see... clearly, they're seeing stuff online, because a lot of this, like, yeah, a lot of this content is, like, so, like, shock and awe. You know, especially like, yeah, mosh pit content. It's just like, whoa, like someone threw a trash can or a ladder or XXX into the fucking mosh pit. And then this happened, or, you know, someone stage dived, yeah, off of this. And so like, I think our little scene really does attract just like some psychos, you know what I mean? That want to be involved in, yeah, that kind of stuff, which it is. I mean, that's why I got, yeah, involved, not got involved, but that's what attracted me to it when I was younger. Just like, when in the late 90s, you know, in the late 90s, it was like I found nu metal, and then like that was my like branch out of whatever everyone else was listening to. And there wasn't that long of a period of time before I went and found like Hatebreed / Glassjaw and went right down to the hardcore,
right,
metalcore world. And then I'd like,
and it
over, it just took over everything else. So
it's a fucking, it's a rabbit hole, man, because like once you like get like one step down, you want to just fucking keep going, because there's just so many fucking bands.
Yeah. Like, oh, I know. Yeah, that's what, so, I was like, that's what I was asking earlier, like how do you find, because you know, like it's weird, like I remember I met Blaith when he was like TMing, I think, for the Burials Orthodox tour or whatever. I don't know who he was, yep, with, but he was on that tour. And I remember, mm-hmm, like I'm in the back, you know, on the sound booth, and he's back there, and he's like, I don't know, 18 feet tall or something like that. So he stood out.
So fucking tall.
Yeah,
bro.
And I was having a couple beers, and like we're going back and forth. He's like, yeah, I'm straight edge, and I was like, oh, my bad. I'm a little buzzed. He's like, no, it's cool. And like we just kind of like really caught, not hit it off that night, but we've kept in contact since then. And then,
yeah,
I remember like just meeting him, chatting with him, and then his band coming, you know, No Cure doing their thing. Like, it was just one of those things where like you pick up a rock and you're like, oh, there's all these other bands under this rock. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah,
knowing him got me not involved, but it brought a lot of
other
bands.
Kind of opened another door.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, it definitely,
right,
did. Yeah.
I just wanted to touch base on Blaith. Dude, like every single day on the tour that we did with him, them and Mugshot, I would be like outside the venue, like smoking a cig, and he'd come up to me and be like, "Hey, Skyler." I'm like, "What's up, Blake?" He's like, "You should stop that." And I was like, "I'm okay." And he said, "Okay," and would just walk away.
Yeah.
Like, and he'll text me like, so like he texted me the other day and he was like, "Skyler, you're awesome. I love you." Just out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
He's a great dude, man.
He's awesome. Very genuine. He's very genuine and very tall. So
yeah,
there's
he's
that.
Very fucking tall.
I'd like to get them on the podcast, but I'd like it. I may wait until he's in the area so I can do it in person. But
that would be sick.
Yeah, they're a cool band, real good band.
Awesome.
And I'm not a straight edge
band,
kind of
bro.
Guy, but you know, I do like some good music every now and then.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
If Skylar wasn't doing music or sell, what would the ideal situation be for you? Is it screen printing?
Is it what?
Is it screen printing?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Either that or, like, I don't know. I'd probably start, like, trying, like, put some money into, like, starting my own, like, demo and renovation company. Some shit like that. The typical fucking blue-collar type shit.
Hey, you know, with the rise in the apps and the internet, a lot less young people are getting their hands dirty. So you could be, you know, if Cell doesn't work out and you do that, you could be making, you know, six figures by the end of a couple of years. You never know, man.
Yeah, for sure.
You might be the only person in Oklahoma, like, still using a hammer or something. You never know.
Yeah, right. Hell yeah.
That's crazy. What are you guys going to do, you young kids, when that happens, bro?
I don't know. We better figure it the fuck out, dude.
Better put the phone down sometime. Yeah, sometime put the
dude,
phone
I'm
down.
Like, bro, I'll have a phone in one hand and be using a power drill in the other, bro. Like,
yeah.
Even if I'm like glancing at something, bro, like my hand, like I'm still active. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. My girl gets pissed because she's like, "You're always on your phone when you're driving." I'm like, "No, I'm not." It's like whether I'm switching the song or like looking up a story or something, and I'm like, you know, stuff comes through the pipeline. I just want to check it out. I just want to glance at it. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
it's like that. Like you're on your drill doing something very dangerous, and you're like, "Oh, what's over here?" And you're just, you know, distracted. Yeah,
who the fuck is texting me, bro? Yeah. What tour offer did we just get? Hold on.
Yeah, I think about that all the time because, like, you know, it's not good to be glued to the internet, but also like part of the game of like music journalism is being the first person to report something or post something. So it's a double-edged sword where I don't like to stay on the internet, like camped on the internet. And there's many times at night where I'm all like, "Oh fuck, I got to go to the other room and post something real quick."
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Yeah, there's a lot
the
of that.
The walk of shame to the office, dude.
Yeah. There's a whole thing of like, I started to like not want to stay up late. But again, like I'm up till, you know, anywhere between like 1 to 4 o'clock in the morning, just because at some point the news cycle starts after midnight. You know, you get emails for the songs coming out that day, and I'm like, shit, I'll just be the first to post about all these things now. And then, oh, it's 4 o'clock.
You gotta make sure your shit's fucking taken care of, bro. That's
yeah, but is it that,
man,
is it that important? Can I just go to bed and then wake up in the morning and do it? You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's yeah, just, but then imagine how like stressed you would be if you had to like do it like as soon as your eyes open.
I mean,
like,
I do, Skyler. That's the problem.
Anytime, like, we're, like, preparing, like, when we were doing, like, the first announcement for the record and, like, the first single, all that shit was scheduled, like, a week in advance.
Oh, yeah.
So I knew when I woke up that day, I would just, like, it would say, like, the post was put up or what the fuck ever. And then I would just set my phone down and go back to doing what I was doing and go back and check on things later, you know? Instead of like sitting there and having to like type all of it out.
Yeah, no. If I could get all you guys to do all that, I would love it. If you would just post to Lambgo whenever you release a song, and I just get or schedule it, I'd fucking love it. Then I don't have to live on the computer for most of my life. But no, I mean, it's a grind type situation. But still, it's it is what it is, and it's amazing. Because also, like, I've always been very passionate about this stupid little side of the world. Since like I found out about it, it's just one of those things where I mentioned to a friend of mine, I think after COVID we saw like Madball play some like small venue here in town, and I was like, yeah, like, you know what's weird, like I guess like 20 something 25 years ago I walked into some shitty little bar/club some, you know, like, because all these shows are not in like the best of venues for the most part, and like,
right,
you know, I walked into one of those clubs and I've never left. I've always just kind of been either attracted to those, whether it's like the hole in the wall bar that's playing like metal music, I'll go to that bar over any other bar on the strip or club or whatever, or I'll just go to the shows. And most of the shows I go to are in these little, like, you know, shithole spots in the world. Yep. But it's a great time.
Yep.
I live there.
Oh yeah, it's an awesome time, dude. I've got two bars that I go to with everybody out here. There's one called, I don't know if you guys have like Henry Hudson's. Mm-mm. Out where you guys are from. It's just a fucking, like I said, shithole fucking bar, typical to what you were just talking about. But I go in there and shoot fucking pool and smoke cigs, drink a couple beers. But then we got Lost Highway, and that's the one that like we all go to. And they're always blasting like fucking, just, it's always something heavy. Like, it's never like anything fucking crazy. But sometimes they'll put on like some fucking like EDM shit, just like to give everybody like a breath of fresh air.
Hell
for a second.
Yeah, you gotta get your rave on. Get your rave on. Hey, I come from that world too, so I've dabbled. I've definitely dabbled in that fucking world. But yeah, God, I was gonna ask, what is your beer of choice, Sky?
If I'm like in a bar ordering,
yeah, or if you could have like your favorite beer like right now, what would it be?
If I could have a beer in front of me right now, it would be a PBR. But if I go to a bar, I typically get a Miller with salt and lime and a shot of well tequila.
You get a dressed. Miller, a Miller, like a regular Miller or Miller Lite?
Miller Lite.
With salt and lime?
Yeah. I don't know why.
That seems like a Corona move. I've heard that with Corona, but like I've never heard it with Miller.
Dude, I don't know why, but
no wonder you guys are crashing all your vans and cars through fucking buildings, dude.
Dude, like, okay, I love like cervezas and stuff like that, but like Corona and what the fuck is that other beer called?
Modelo?
Pacifico, not Modelo. Okay. Pacifico. They give me really bad heartburn for some reason. So like, if I'm ever sipping a Corona, chances are you're gonna see me turn around and like pop a fucking like roll in my mouth just to like make sure I'm like okay.
Yeah,
it's fucked, dude. I hate it.
But, you know what's that's weird? You have bad indigestion. I've never really, and I have a couple friends, but growing up, I never had like friends with indigestion in my 20s. It's so weird,
dude. It sucks. I think it's because like, dude, I fucking smoke cigs and vape, and I drink at least one or two beers every single night. I'm not drinking like crazy heavy, but like even at like the fucking shop, dude, like we've got this from our Christmas party that we have. Yikes. We got Jose Cuervo.
Just that's where you would need, like, see, that's more along the lines of salt and lime, guys.
Like
that's more along the line. I don't know why you're doing it with Miller. I'm going to try that and get back to you on
try
that.
It.
And it's probably going to be bad.
I think we're coming to Florida on that mugshot tour. If it's anywhere near you, come out to the show and I will buy you one and we'll sit there and we'll taste test together, bro.
Jesus Christ. You're like 4 hours, you'll be 4 hours away from me.
It's worth the drive, dude.
Yeah, I guess. I'll try it with, well, hold on. Oh no, you're not going to be with the Pains boys. I thought the Pains boys were going to be with you on that part, but they're later in the month or later in the tour. That'd be cool. The PBR, PBR is like a staple, dude. I think like I've probably drank outside of, there was a time where I was like heavy Coors Light drinker because the mountains were always blue, you know, and when that whole thing came out, I was like, that's fucking cool. Cold beer.
Yeah. So it makes me want to fucking drink it. Yeah.
I mean,
good marketing strategy.
There are people probably listening to us right now, like going like, they're drinking the shittiest beers. And to that, I'll say, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But that's because I like to stay hydrated and just have a little bit of alcohol in each drink, and that way I can drink all night long. I used to drink like straight liquor and like have mixed drinks all the time and just get like blacked out. I never blacked out, but I would get like to the point of almost blacking out drunk, and we'd still have like hours in the night. So at some point when I was,
You don't want to be the first one to go home.
No. And I'm never the first one to go home.
And I'm never going to be.
Yeah. But the PBRs, man, fuck. That reminded me. I've always had PBR for the most part in like a $2 tall boy.
Yep.
And you know what's funny too? I don't mean to sidetrack, but this is about PBR. I saw an
ad. No, you're
ad.
Good. Go
I
for
saw
it.
An ad for PBR or something on like from 20 years ago where someone was like, I'll get a PBR. And it was, the guy was like, $2. And I was thinking to myself, Jesus. In like a span of like 20, 30 years, PBR has not changed the price of like a beer that you would get like from somewhere. It's like $2 all the time.
No, and they never fucking will, bro. They never will. The PBR is just like, it's an unbeatable beer, bro. Like,
is
you
it
cannot,
so bad?
Like,
is it bad that we've just gotten acquired taste for it? Because it really doesn't taste like the best. The first couple sips are never, of any beer for me, are never like, oh, this is delicious. But like PBR has this weird like taste that after a couple sips, I'll get through it and then they'll all go down like water, obviously. But
yeah.
It's like weird copper grapefruit. It's like some weird like metallic grapefruit, you know. I don't know. That's what it tastes like.
Well now you have me wanting to drink, so I just poured a little bit of tequila in this cup that I'm gonna sip on while we're
It's
while
5 o'clock
this.
Almost it's almost 5 o'clock here, so you know it's 5 o'clock somewhere technically, but
yeah, technically.
Yeah, it's a good time. Drinking.
Dude,
that's not a PSA for fucking drink or anything, but like, you know, I've gone now to where it's like once or twice a month, and that's that's good for me. That's great for me. But also,
well,
like,
do you mean once or twice a month like heavy, or once or twice a month in general?
So here's a little tidbit about me. If I'm gonna like, if I'm popping one, it's gonna be an all night thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not out here to try to get like, you know, one or two drinks in a night and to be like, that's delicious. I'd rather be like, oh, I'm at a show or I'm at a sporting event or a concert or this, that, or the other thing. Let's enhance the vibe, you know, and I'll
let's enhance.
I'll take the edge off of life a little bit. And my ideal situation is like four beers. And then if someone's walking around with some greenery, I'll take a little bit of that, and then we'll coast. Yep. We'll coast on that for a long time. But yeah, I mean, when we went to FYA last week or the other week, last weekend.
Dude, it looked fucking crazy. I don't mean to interrupt.
No,
you,
no, no,
it
you're
looked
fine.
Insane. One of our friends from here was out there, and he said it was the craziest fest he's probably been to in years.
Yeah, no, it definitely was pretty wild. But you know what's funny is like when we got there on the first day, and I'm like, oh, they have a beer line, and you know I'm thinking like, oh, this is a hardcore festival. There's gonna be like mostly straight edge people. There's not gonna be that many beers being drank. So like right away, I was like, this beer line is like nothing. So I was like getting, you know, beers and at two at a time. Which by the way, that sounds bad, but I'll explain. I ordered a PBR.
It's worth it.
A PBR, right? I'm used to getting 16-ounce tall boy cans. This one was like a 12-ounce can. So in the grand scheme of things, it just kind of looks like one of those mini Cokes, you know, like 8-ounce Cokes. And it felt really weird being on my hand. So I had to get two of those at a go. Because, again, I don't want to go back to the beer thing. But anyway.
Were they overcharging?
Yeah, dude. What are you talking about? It wasn't a $2 beer.
Dude,
$2 beer, but I get it. You know what I mean? I get it. So
they got to make their money.
I think it was three. It was like $3 or $4. It wasn't much, but it wasn't like the standard $2 for any kind of PBR drink. But no, that was a fun one. That was fun. But again, it was a smaller
can.
And I will say, like, it felt very strange to like double fist around the hardcore festival. And like all the lights were on. Obviously, people were talking about that. But being there, it didn't really click when I was there. It just felt like you were, I don't know. It just felt like it was supposed to be like that. But it is. But you know, it didn't feel like where's all the cool lighting for the hardcore band? I've never seen fucking cool lighting on a hardcore band where it's like a light show or anything like that. So it didn't really seem like I was missing out much. But another thing that I thought was really cool before we get off the topic of FYA was that the fact that people come from all over. It literally is one of those festivals where like it's not like you're not getting like 10,000 people going, but you're getting a couple thousand people going, and the couple thousand people that are going are like super dedicated. They'll fly some from some from out of the country. You know what I mean? They come from a different country. Yeah. They'll come from all over. And it was really wild to see that. And
yeah, it's fucking crazy, dude. Like,
yeah. I always find myself going, like, what's too big? Like, this is an awesome time. Like, it was an awesome weekend, right? But I was like,
right,
how big can this, something like this get before it gets not as fun? Or, you know, I don't know if that's even possible, but, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is hardcore supposed to be small? Is it supposed to be small crowds or, like, big, crazy crowds? You know what I mean? Like, we're moving into a weird time for hardcore where, like, it's gained so much popularity that it does have the ability to, I mean, like, you're getting bands are having Taco Bell, hardcore bands are in Taco Bell commercials and shit. So, you know, there's that. So, like, that's why I'm always, like, can hardcore get too big? I don't know.
Right. Who knows?
We'll see, we'll guess. Yeah.
We shall see. I don't know if you can cut this out, but I need to grab a charger really quick.
No, you're good. I was about to end it anyway because we're at like an hour. These go by quick.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah right on. Okay. Quick, I didn't even fucking realize.
Yeah, so as I said earlier in the pod, we're here with Sky from Cell. They have a new EP coming out. We'll actually put this episode out today. So cool. you can do all that, and it'll be appropriate for you listeners to go check out the two new songs. Certain Death is the newest one. I think you posted it, you guys released it last week. We posted it this week. You guys are going out on the road not next month, but March with
Mugshot, Kanahashi.
Yeah. Mouth of War, Cell.
Pains.
Your Cell, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, so check that out. If you're in Oklahoma, you know, you don't want to drive all the way to the next stop across the country, maybe think about booking a show in Oklahoma. You know, the kids that seemingly like some heavy stuff over there. So check that out. And then, yeah, I can't promise that I'll be in Bradenton or Hollywood, Florida, because that's even further. But I will, at some point, try a Miller with salt and lime. I'll probably get stares when I order it from the bar, so I might do it at the house. But I'll try that out and get back to you on that.
Bet. I'll be waiting for the response to see what you think.
Bro. Cool. Do you want to say anything before we let you off? I know you already shouted out some Oklahoma bands, so you don't have to go down that route again, but anything else before you get out of here?
Plenty of tours to be announced that are even fucking crazier than the ones that we've done previously and the ones that we have already announced. The new record, I hope, makes you feel like there's a million bricks being dropped on your head. Shout out Oklahoma, shout out to all my homies, and thanks for all the support.
No problem. All right, Sky, thanks for being on the show, and we'll touch base, brother.
Appreciate it. Peace.
Later, dog.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11.